What's up, Atlanta? I was hoping this day would not come. I was praying this day would not come. But here we are on an absolutely picture-perfect day here in the great city of Atlanta, in the great state of Georgia, at 12:01 p.m. Saturday, October 25th. If you've been driving around all morning and you have not been able to catch up on the latest Falcons news, we just had 4 hours wall-to-wall, got you covered pillar to post on college football with our buddies on College Football Game Time, Chris and Abe and Garrett and Fricky. Falcons fans, you're up. You're up. Swing and swing, batter, batter, swing at 404-726-0929. We'll get to everything today. World Series started last night. Blue Jays look like they have a real shot to knock off the Dodgers. Yes, thank you. We are all Blue Jays fans here in Atlanta. Hawks get a big bounce back win last night over the Orlando Magic, a foe that they will be dealing with all season long and one that is projected to make a good playoff run by many. So that was a good bounce back win. And we got a full slate of college ball, as I mentioned. But that's not where we begin. Mark Raimondi, ESPN Falcons reporter, at 9:03 a.m. Eastern Time this morning. Sources: Falcons highly likely to start Kirk Cousins versus the Dolphins. Oh boy, here we go. Kirk Cousins is, quote, highly likely to be the Atlanta Falcons starting quarterback Sunday against the Miami Dolphins, sources tell ESPN's Adam Schefter on Saturday morning. Starter Michael Penix Jr. suffered a bone bruise in his left knee during last week's loss to the San Francisco 49ers as the Falcons dropped to 3-3. Penix was limited in practice the past 2 days, listed Friday as questionable for Sunday's game. How you feeling? Falcons fans, the question's simple today. How you feeling? 404-726-0929. I'm here till 4 o'clock. So I got all after. I got nothing but time to talk to y'all about the current state of the Falcons QB1. Again, according to Mark Raimondi, at 9:03 this morning, Kirk Cousins is, quote, highly likely to be the starting quarterback for your Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. Now, I posted this article on my Twitter, if you can't get through on the phones, at 404-726-0929. At C. Thomas Radio is where you can hit me up on Twitter. I got a lot of comments on this post. The overwhelming majority of y'all said it's all good. Just start him. That's why he's there. That's why he's the highest paid backup in the league. There is no quarterback controversy. I even had somebody literally plead with me in the comments on my Twitter. Like, Turtle, please do not make this about a quarterback controversy. It's not. Yet. It's not about a quarterback controversy. Right now. So 404-726-0929. I'm not talking about a quarterback controversy today. I'm talking about how do you feel about Kirk Cousins playing as QB1 on Sunday? You know me, we talked about this week when this first became a possibility, but we had to let the rest of the week play out. You know me, I'm emotional, I'm petty. I said those two things this week, and I stand by those two things. I am emotional and I am petty. After what Kirk Cousins did last season, specifically Radio Row Week as Super Bowl, announcing to the world that he had an injuries, and they were not properly disclosed to the Falcons brass, as we soon found out later, and he tried to play through them and essentially single-handedly nuked the Falcons season by going one touchdown to 8 interceptions over the course of a 5-week span. I can't forgive it. It would have been the first. Think about this, y'all. last season would have been the first season since I moved to Atlanta that the Falcons would have made the playoffs. The first one. I've been here for 5 years. It'll be in November, next month. It'll be 5 years that I've been here in Atlanta. That would have been the first playoff run I've seen from the Falcons since I moved here. I've covered nothing but losing seasons since I moved to the ATL. And Kirk Cousins, single-handedly, because he didn't want to get Wally Pipped by Michael Penix Jr., which he did anyway, by the way, said, no, I'm going to play through it. Okay, Kirk. Okay. And that doesn't even include the crap at the start of the season when he cost us a draft pick by running his mouth about illegal meetings with trainers. Come on, man. You know? He had his highs. The highs were high, man. And that's one reason why I think you can be optimistic about this. Dude was balling before he got hurt. How in the world could you say he wasn't? Again, the accolades that I always repeat because they're so worth repeating to speak on how good he was. NFC Offensive Player of the Week, not once but twice. 4 touchdowns in a game, not once but twice. And broke the single season passing record for a game with over 500 yards. And that was through the first 9 weeks, because after that is when it all fell apart. That was through 9 games. So if that's the Kirk Cousins that we're getting, and by all indications, he's looked really good in camp and at practice and looking a lot more like the guy from the first 9 games than the last 5 that he played, in which he threw 1 touchdown and 8 interceptions. Okay. All right. And then we'll go from there. Again, we're not talking about a quarterback controversy yet. We're not talking about a quarterback controversy right now. We're not talking about a quarterback controversy today. 404-726-0929. I'm seeing the lines are blowing up already. I got a bunch of time to take your calls, so why don't we just start off right away? Because this is about, I want to hear how y'all are feeling. I know me, I am so emotionally torn about this that I don't know how to feel, because at the end of the day, what it comes down to, right, is we all want the same thing. We all want the Falcons to win this game, go to 4-3, and pick up the playoff pace and the trajectory that we knew that they were capable of this season. You can't lose to the freaking Dolphins on Sunday. You just can't. That would be a devastating loss and a real big dig at your playoff chances. Would it end your season? Of course not. But it would be a big dig. And a real big hole to climb out of after two. I mean, that loss at San Francisco was embarrassing, man. They were so beat up, and they beat you up with Christian McCaffrey and 185 yards from scrimmage, man. They beat you up. How are you going to respond? And especially, how are you going to respond if Kirk Cousins is at quarterback? So that's what we want to know. How are you feeling right now that, according to Mark Raimondi and Adam Schefter, quote, highly likely that Kirk Cousins is your QB1 on Sunday versus the Dolphins? Let's start it off with Meat in Cascade. Meat.
Hey, Turtle, what's up, man?
What up, Meat?
I am elated that Kirk is coming in, because you know why? This team does not need I don't want to call him a developmental piece, but he still has some ways to go in order to be playing playoff football. This team needs experience. Experience be talent out in any day, and that's what Kirk brings to the table. How convenient for Atlanta fans that Michael Penix, I don't want to make it sound like that, but it is what it is, that he got an injury, Kirk's coming in. I think I was saying all week, Kirk is the best chance for us to make the playoffs because of his experience. He's good, and I think it's an impending quarterback controversy coming. That's what I think.
Yeah, me. No, I appreciate the phone call. Good stuff leading us off at 404-726-0929. That's what I got a lot of when this initially cropped up as a possibility earlier this week before this new report dropped this morning. A lot of people were just like, hey, man, Turtle, listen, Penix has been inconsistent at best. And you know what? Y'all are right. I can't sit here and deny that. Penix is, it's literally been one good game, one bad game. One good game, one bad game. So if you want to make the playoffs, what's the word we've talked about all season long? Consistency. And if Kirk Cousins is going to come in and be the consistent quarterback that he was last year, how can you deny it? Because at the end of the day, it's a tricky question. But what's the most important thing to take away at the end of this season? Is it making the playoffs and ending the drought? Or is it Michael Penix Jr.'s growth and development? And that's the tough part about it. Because that's what I said on Thursday, is those two things right now are not matching up. Those two things right now are not on the same wavelength and the same timeline. And that's the most unfortunate part about it. Because you can't wait for him right now. You can't wait for Kirk Cousins to step in there and lead the team. If it needs to happen now, it needs to happen now. And that's the unfortunate part about it. 404-726-0929. Scott's in Atlanta. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
What's up, Scotty?
Listen, I mean, I don't really understand all this emotional talk because, I mean, we can talk about last year till we're blue in the face, but even if they would have somehow made the playoffs, we weren't going to stop anybody last year with that defense. And what happened last year really was a blessing in disguise because look what it got us in the draft. And look what we did this offseason. It forced us to ask the difficult questions, and it forced us hard for Raheem and the coaching staff to look in the mirror and say, what is it going to take for this team to get to the next level? And we had to address that defense, and we did. So last year is out the window as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what Kirk Cousins did last year. I really don't care. We've finally got a good defense. We finally got something to where, as you say, if we end that drought, make the playoffs, if we make the playoffs, we can actually stop. We can stop a cold on defense. We can stop somebody. So we're actually in a prime position to actually do something this year in the playoffs. Now, as far as this game goes, I think that if we see Kirk Cousins drop back or in the shotgun and he's throwing the ball 30 to 50 times, that's a complete failure because of how bad Miami is on defense. This should be the Tyler Algier and Bijan Robinson run game where they combine for 300 yards rushing. And yes, the keyword is should, but that should be the game plan. Now, if for some reason, you know, Miami is so tired of losing that they come in there and they give us a game and Kirk has to throw for 300 yards and three touchdown passes, I don't see there being any kind of a quarterback competition because, you know, the team has rallied behind Penix, and yes, he's still a rookie, but I think that we would have heard by now, we haven't heard much of anything from any of the locker room guys or anyone on the team about how Kirk is causing all this distraction or Penix is upset and all this other junk. We haven't heard anything about that. So I think that, you know, unless Michael Penix's injury is so bad that he has to miss multiple games, I think this is a one and done, and we just need to go in with the mindset, get the win, and just handle our business and get out.
Yeah.
So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott, appreciate it, man. 404-726-0929. That's the level-headed approach, y'all. Scott just laid it out for you. That's the level-headed approach, is Kirk just needs to go in there. That's why you didn't trade him for a bag of donuts. That's why you kept him here. To Scott's point, he has been a good soldier on and off the field from everything we've heard. And again, Tyler Algier, Bijan Robinson, here's a stat for y'all. I heard this from Matthew Berry yesterday. In games the Falcons have won, Tyler Algier averages over 14 touches a game. That's it. There it is. Two games we've lost, he had 1 and 4 touches. Sounds pretty simple to me. 404-726-0929. Going to take more of your calls as soon as we get back. I see Justin, Brett, Donald, Spencer. Hang tight. Grab a line. If you want one, 404-726-0929. Got one spot open for y'all to jump on. If you can't get through, hit me up on Twitter. We're talking the news that dropped today. According to ESPN's Mark Raimondi and Adam Schefter, quote, highly likely that Kirko Chains is back at QB1 this weekend for the Falcons. What do you think? 404-726-0929.
Going into someone's trap and trying to take over their trap.
That's right. He could be back. How we feeling, Atlanta? 404-726-0929. That's right. Kirko Chains, according to ESPN, our buddy Mark Raimondi, along with Adam Schefter, quote, highly likely that Kirk Cousins starts tomorrow versus Miami. We're taking your reaction. How do you feel about it? So far, the overwhelming majority of y'all are just like, Turtle, stop being emotional, zip it, and let Kirko go do his thing. Okay, if that's how you feel, fine with me. Let's see what Justin's thinking. He's in Lawrenceville. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, how you doing today?
What up, man?
I mean, whether it be Penix, whether it be Cousins, I think the recipe for the win is run the ball. Don't turn the ball over. I mean, this is a floundering team. The coach is talking about the quarterback. Quarterback's talking about the team. I mean, we should just run, game management, and come away with the win. I mean, I definitely like our chances in this one. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Justin, appreciate you checking in. I agree 100%. You know what, Dom? I'll take it a step further. That should always be the game plan. Psst, little secret, y'all. Falcons win when they run the ball. They lose when they don't. Again, I just read you the stat from Matthew Berry. When Tyler Allgeier has 14 or more touches in a game, the Falcons win. When he doesn't, they lose. Carolina game, he had one touch. San Francisco game, he had four touches. Notice a trend there, folks. Bijan Robinson got stopped last weekend. How? I don't know. The 49ers defense is not good. They're missing Nick Bosa and they're missing Fred Warner. Their two best defenders, literally. Again, the comparison I made would be that's like the Falcons going out and dominating on defense without Caden Ellis and without Jesse Bates. That's what the 49ers did to the Falcons last weekend. Embarrassing. So, yes, you need to Justin's point, he's 100% right. You need to get the run game established, whether it's for Penix, who we know will be slightly compromised, or if it's Kirk, who hasn't played a game since, I don't know, what was it, like December of last year? It's been a long time since Kirko got a start. So Justin's point is exactly right. Donald's in Riverdale. Donald, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling good. Thanks for taking my call. I like that move because I haven't really been really high on Michael Penix anyway since we drafted him. But a few callers ago, the guy Scott, he took the words right out of my mouth. You know, I'm not concerned about last year anymore. I think our best chance to win, best chance to get to the playoffs, is with Kirk Cousins. I cannot see us getting to the playoffs with Michael Penix. And I'm not worried about either one of those things. The main thing that I have against the Falcons, is the coaching staff. You know, I don't understand these guys. These guys is like the stats you just put out about Algiers, you know. And it just don't make sense to me. To me, I think our biggest problem is the coaching staff going forward. And I like Kirk Cousins. I like Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to get in there and show people, hey, I'm a vet. I can come back anytime, do this. Last year behind us, I'm getting paid. We finna win. Now that we have a defense, I think we're going to get to the playoffs. I don't think Michael Penix is going to come back and start no time soon.
Donald, appreciate the phone call. Interesting stuff. Dom, you know what's so funny? This just ultimately proves the one cliche in sports that we always say, but these phone calls, the ones I took on Thursday, the Twitter response I've gotten, which has been a lot, hit me up at C. Thomas Radio, and now the calls I'm taking today. What have you done for me lately? And Michael Penix Jr., at the beginning of the season, was the prophet. He was the Messiah. He was the answer.
Mm-hmm.
He was the truth. Now, six games into the season, we're all back behind Kirko Chains.
I'll give you another one, another saying that's relevant to football. No one is more popular than the backup quarterback.
Yes, a great call. It's unbelievable.
And
it really is.
To see this city, man, just city of second chances.
But you know what? Here's where I'll give a little bit of grace on that, Dom, because it's a good point. You haven't made the playoffs in 7 years.
Yeah.
So whatever it takes, man, just get back to the – if it's Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, whatever sticks.
Yeah, if it's Kirk Cousins, if it's Felipe Franks, if it's Emory Jones.
Let's pray it's not that.
Yeah, whoever it is, man, I don't care. Just get us back. Spencer's in Lawrenceville. Spencer, go ahead.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Hey, a couple things here. One, I've never had anything against Kirk Cousins, what he did last year. I think he was just a QB that played through some injuries. We weren't going to put Michael Penix in a Monday night game against the Broncos. And we were going to give Kirk a shot against Minnesota. So that's why I don't really hold anything against the guy too much. Second, I think this is just a plan. I mean, kind of the way it was supposed to go. Penix was supposed to play behind Kirk for a couple years, gain some experience, and then be our franchise guy. I mean, he's got the opportunity to get a couple wins under his belt, and he can learn from his losses. So I have nothing against Kirk coming on board for this game coming up. I don't know what's going to happen. But, yeah, those are the things I had to say. Thanks a lot for taking the call.
Yeah, Spencer, appreciate it, man. You are echoing the sentiments of nearly everybody who I've spoken to about this, which is crazy to me. I guess I've been the one with my head in the sand. I've been the one living in a bubble.
Well, because you know what it is? It's so weird that this exact scenario was something so many people, especially callers in this city, everyone tore this franchise to shreds about, because you didn't want this situation to come about. And everyone was like, you're setting yourself up to have a quarterback controversy. And everyone hated it. That's why everyone wanted to get Kirk Cousins out of here. And now that situation has come, maybe it's just because everyone expected it to come. But it's funny that like everyone was just kind of like, oh, well, yeah, no, it's fine.
Well, I think it's more because of the way Penix has played. He just hasn't been that good. He has 5 touchdowns and 4 picks on the season.
How much of that is on him and how much of that is on the play calling?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly in what the other caller said as well. I do think the Falcons have unfortunately, quite a big coaching problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not changing right now.
Yeah.
So you can complain and be and moan about it all you want, but you have to make it work.
Yeah. You still have to be better.
Right.
In the
system. And if the way to make it work right now is to put Kirk back in there, that's what everybody's saying right now. It's like, well, blanket, just do it. Whatever needs to work. Jonathan is in Dallas. Jonathan.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, y'all stole kind of some of my thunder there in that last caller. You know, I just wanted to go back and like look at the timeline of how the front office and coaching staff has really just fumbled the quarterback position. Because initially the narrative was, like the last caller just said, Penix was going to sit for a couple years. I think he even said like best case scenario. You know, 4 years later he comes in, which I thought was silly because that just nullifies his rookie contract. You got to try to win on the rookie contract. And then, you know, Kirko goes out and gets, you know, 9 games. He's setting records. And then he was hurt. And I think if Heinicke was behind him, he would have sat some last year instead. But he was worried about, you know, Penix. And what do they do when he goes down? Penix is a starter. We're not looking back. And left Kirk a lame duck, you know. But Kirk also, you know, wasn't truthful with a lot of things. And then in the offseason, it's, you know, we're going to get rid of him. No one thought he was going to be here. And then they keep him. And I was telling my friends at the beginning of the year, like, I think Kirk is healthy this year, you know, and to get to the Super Bowl, like some of the other callers have said, I think he gives us the best chance for that. And I've said that since day one. I mean, Penix had about as much experience as Ritter did coming into his second season. We saw how that went. You look at their numbers, they're not far off from where they were. And nothing against Penix, but, you know, if Kirko comes out and starts going all world, psychologically, what's Penix going to do at that point? And then they've put themselves in the same situation. So we're beating a dead horse, but the horse isn't dead yet because they haven't fixed the situation. You know, I like what they did on defense this year, but I'm just not sold on the, you know, the general manager and this coaching staff knowing really what they're doing. And that, to me, that's the biggest problem, because the talent is there, but, you know, we keep straddling the fence on this quarterback situation that hasn't gone away for 2 years. And, you know, it's not good for anybody involved.
No, appreciate the phone call. Very well articulated. And I agree with all your points. That's the problem, right? It's Kirk Cousins right now, unfortunately, kind of looks like the better option at quarterback, if we're being completely honest, if he's the guy through the first nine games of last year, if that's what he still has left in the tank. Because Penix has been pretty average. He's had some good games, but he's had some really poor games. And you're, again, it's all about the timeline, folks. There is a timeline that needs to be met by the end of this season, and that is one word: playoffs. And if it is not, I firmly believe heads will roll. And then you're starting over with a whole new regime anyway, and then it, you know, who knows what a new coach, a new GM would want to do. Who knows? Jose's in Tequila. Jose. Jose.
Oh. Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Jose?
Hey, what a blessing that we have Cousins on the bench. All summer, all I heard from Mike Bell was that this guy was a cancer, this guy was a disruption of the room, this guy was no good to nobody. And here we are, switching around, he's back tapping now. Now he's all happy with the gut Cousins. He's ready to come in and do the job.
No, Jose, listen, I fully understand what you're saying, and I know what Mike Bell was saying at the time, too. And quite frankly, for the most part, I agreed with him. Dude, as an NFL quarterback, as a leader of a franchise, of an organization, you can't hide an injury from your coaching staff that nukes your season. Like, that's what I keep saying to y'all. Like, do we forget what happened? Kirk Cousins ruined the 2024 Atlanta Falcons season single-handedly by lying about several arm injuries that prompted him to throw one touchdown and eight interceptions over a five-week span. Like, that happened. We can't forget that that didn't happen. Now, but unfortunately, flash forward into week eight of 2025, and we kind of need him. Like, that's just what it comes down to. So it's just a really hard pill to swallow. Let's finish up with Jason in the downtown ATL. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, fellas? Just want to remind everybody to rise up. It doesn't matter who's at quarterback. It's the coaching. It's the play calling. It's everything in between. Kirk Cousins can come out and do his thing, just like Penix can come out and do his thing. I think it's smart to keep Penix on the sideline if he's hurt, you know, with the previous injuries in college. At the end of the day, man, it's Kirktober. And that just is what it is. So let's get the play calling right. Let's get Bijan. Let's get Tyler the ball. And let's go pound some, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Rise up, as you said. That, and he's right. That's the ultimate goal. Win the game. Get back to over 500 and march towards the playoffs. That should be the ultimate goal, no matter who's at quarterback. Great job on the phones at 404-726-0929. We'll take more of your calls in just a little bit. Going to take calls every hour this afternoon because, again, if you missed it, the breaking news, 9 o'clock this morning, according to Mark Raimondi and Adam Schefter of ESPN, quote, highly likely that Kirk Cousins gets the start tomorrow. We'll take a little detour, then get back to the football at the top of the hour. Lauren Williams of the AJC. Hawk season's underway. KP has the flu. Is this related to the other thing? Oh, boy. Let's find out next. That's right. The Atlanta Hawks are back. 1-1 to start the season. Nice bounce back win last night versus Orlando. We will get back to the Falcons conversation. Don't you worry. Appreciate everybody who called in. We're taking calls all show long. I'm here till 4. Going to take calls every single hour that I'm here at 404-726-0929. Because if you missed it, if you were running around this morning taking the kids to sports or running some errands, according to ESPN, quote, highly likely that Kirk Cousins is QB1 tomorrow versus the Dolphins. So we'll continue to react to that. But right now, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good friend Lauren Williams of the AJC. Covers the Hawks. Lauren, appreciate you coming on. First one of these official chats of the season. Before we get to the on-the-court stuff, were we able to decipher if whatever was ailing Kristaps Porzingis is related to the illness slash whatever medical issue he was suffering from last season, or are those two completely different things?
From my understanding, it sounds like they're different things, but the person I spoke to didn't really want to, you know, speculate. But from their understanding, it's simply flu-like symptoms, unrelated. But that's kind of where we are.
And for those who aren't familiar, he did have a condition where essentially it slowed him down, made him woozy, made him dizzy at times, and affected his ability to perform on the court. That's from my understanding.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've read about of POTS syndrome, it doesn't really go away. It's simply managed. And but I don't, from my understanding of, you know, conversation that I had, it's flu-like symptoms, and the Hawks will see where he is today.
Okay, so now that we got that sort of business out of the way, what was the difference between Game 1 and Game 2 where the Hawks came out and, I don't know how else to say it, Lauren, you lose by 20 on your opening night, not exactly the way you want things to go, but a nice bounce back win last night.
For sure, and I think the big thing is that we saw collective execution. When you look throughout the game, you know, there were moments where everybody did something that benefited the cause. You know what I mean? Nobody really got lost in the shuffle of things. You look at the box score, you see what people scored, some of the stats that they had, and you're like, oh, that makes sense. And it paid off in the end. I think we saw a huge game from Muhammad Gay, who did not play in the home opener and was able to take advantage of some open minutes with Kristaps Porzingis out. I think, and I think a lot of, you know, Hawks fandom after seeing him play yesterday, you know, think that he should get some more playing time. It's now a matter of where that may be. And I, you know, pose the question, whose minutes does he get? I think the Hawks really want to continue playing Keaton Wallace because he does give them the benefit of allowing Trae Young to rest. And that's huge. We talk about, yes, the ball handling by committee, but part of that is helping Keaton develop, helping Keaton be able to develop his skills to read and react. And I think that's great. I mean, that's part of what you want to see in the NBA is guys developing, and that, and Keaton is technically a young guy even at 26, just because, you know, last year was his only rookie year. So I do think that the big thing though is that they really slowed down the Magic in transition, and they did a much better job of keeping guys out of the paint. They did have that stretch there in the second quarter where the Magic just went on a 12-4 run and they were just absolutely killing them in the paint, but they adjusted, and toward the end of the night, you really saw the Magic trying to settle for 3-point shots, or they were going to, say, Wendell Carter Jr. low in the post, and the Hawks would either foul him and send him to the free throw line, and the Magic just weren't making free throws last night. So I think that's the big thing. I don't think the Hawks obviously had the strategy to force Wendell Carter Jr. to take free throws, but it worked out in their favor, and here we are. The Hawks are 1-1.
Unfortunately, and it almost seems like year calendar proof, Lauren, and you'll hear exactly what I'm about to say and why, the 3-point shooting just is not there again to start the season. Luke Kennard goes 1-for-5 in the first game, doesn't attempt a 3-pointer last night in 23 minutes. How do you explain it? I don't know what's going on with the Hawks and their ability to shoot from long range.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to figure out. I mean, you have these new guys coming in and their roles have changed from where they were in their previous situations, and they're being asked to do more. So I do think it is fair to give these guys a little bit of grace to sort of find that balancing act of how to expend energy, if that makes any sense. You have Nikhil who, you know, they're asking him to go out and make more plays, not just attacking the rim, but finding others for shots at the basket. You know, we've seen him hit guys with a bounce pass, cutting to the basket. We've seen him find Dyson Daniels a couple times. We've seen him find Jalen Johnson in the preseason a couple times. So I think these guys are really trying to learn what it means to have an expanded role on a roster, and that is going to affect other parts of the game. Now, I think if we're seeing these guys really struggle with shooting, you know, 3, 4, 5 games from now, then I feel like we can have a little bit of an alarm bell. But I do think that you have to give these guys a little bit more time to gel and kind of figure out how to play with each other and what that means for their own individual games.
We got the world champs coming into town tonight, Oklahoma City Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lauren, picking up right where he left off, dropping a 55 spot. He is an incredible player. What do you think their best way is to try to slow him down?
I'm sure they're going to do their best to deploy Dyson Daniels on him, and then there probably is a lot of opportunity to try and throw Nikhil Alexander-Walker at him in the mix as well. But I think the big thing with the Hawks is that it has to be a collective effort, because OKC is a very deep team. Yes, we look at their injury report and we see several key guys are either questionable or have already been ruled out, but that doesn't mean that the Hawks have it easy going into this game, just because the OKC Thunder really know how to develop their players. And so I think the big thing is we have to see similar things, but better, to what the Hawks did last night. Recognizing coverage is much faster, talking a lot more, rotating in time so that you're not drawing untimely fouls. Obviously, you want to see Jalen Johnson not in foul trouble. And this is a team that does have the ability to sort of bring that out of their opponents. And so I do think that the Hawks are going to have to be committed to communicating with each other, even overly so on the defensive end, so that they don't have any slippages in coverage and they're not letting the Thunder get some easy looks at the basket.
Talking all things Hawks with our good buddy Lauren Williams. Make sure you check out her work in the AJC. Coverage tonight starts at 6:30 here on the game. Starts at 7 o'clock here on the game, pre at 7, tip at 7:30. You mentioned Jalen Johnson. Do you think it's going to take a little bit more time? I know he had a great first game, but for him to sort of reestablish himself as the team's true second option?
No, because I think that even within the flow of the game yesterday, which, yes, it got disrupted by that foul trouble, I think he knows what his role is and he knows what, he needs to do. I think the big thing is that if he's getting the Hawks out in transition, that they're doing everything right on the defensive end to put him in the position to leak out and get to the basket or grab the rebound and push it ahead to guys who are running out in front of him. So I don't think that it's going to take him time. I think we saw it in the first two preseason games that he didn't miss a beat. We saw it again in the season opener that he looked like Jalen Johnson. And so I do think that, the big thing with him is just being smarter on the defensive end, especially knowing your opponent and some of the ticky-tacky things that referees might look for when they're officiating games against certain teams.
While I have you here, you do cover the league day in and day out. How surprised were you at all the news that came out this week about the scandals going on in the association?
I was honestly floored that we're in this position where we're seeing a scandal like this. Obviously, a lot of people can blame the league getting into bed with the sports books, and it does look bad when you have channels promoting sports betting. But I think at the end of the day, these were individual men who made choices, and these choices had, obvious consequences that are pretty major. And I think one of the things that I've seen from a few people, circulating online, is that with the league partnering with these sports betting operators, these sports books rather, it was what allowed the FBI and the league to find the irregularities that showed that there was something nefarious happening. And so I think the big thing is that the league just has to continue to be responsible with how it promotes this partnership, how it promotes, that this is now part of the sports landscape. But I think the genie's out of the bottle at this point. You can't put it back in. And so I think that there's just going to have to be, maybe more stringent policies moving forward to try and find ways to stop illegal, gambling operations, which is what this situation is.
Lauren, appreciate the time as always. We'll be checking you out tonight in the AJC after the game. Hawks and Thunder right here on 92.9 The Game. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Chris.
All right, that is our good buddy Lauren Williams of the AJC talking all things Hawks. We'll get the national perspective on this gambling scandal. I reached out to one of my good buddies, Trevor Lane, who is one of the best NBA podcasters and hosts out there in the country. He does the front office show with our other buddy, Keith Smith, ironically enough. They're as good as it gets when it comes to breaking down numbers and off-field issues going on in the association. So we'll talk to him coming up in about an hour from now and also get his take on the Hawks. How good does he think they can be? Yeah, man, this was a crazy week in the NBA. Oh, my goodness. And the Hawks right in the middle of it, going 1-1 with a big game tonight versus OKC. We haven't talked any college football. Let's make sure we correct that. It is a college football Saturday right here on 92.9 The Game as well. We got you covered this morning. And now that the games are underway with college football game time, we'll get the take of our good buddy Ian Valentino. He's going to join me next, A to Z Sports. And then we'll get back to your call. So if you're on hold, stay there, 404-726-0929, talking about the news of the day that Kirk Cousins is, quote, highly likely to start on Sunday.